NBC anchorman Brian Williams, Fox News commentator Bill O'Reilly, and Veterans Affairs Secretary Robert McDonald all have been accused of, or admitted to, embellishing their experiences in wartime. Williams said he was in a helicopter in Iraq that took rocket fire. O'Reilly said he survived a combat situation in Argentina during the Falklands War in 1982. And McDonald told a homeless veteran that he had served in Army Special Forces. Sherry Parks, our commentator on American culture, has been following these stories and wonders, what's up with this? Why do people embellish or tell outright lies, particularly about what they did during war? Please join us for our conversation in the next hour. Sherry Parks, the truth, the whole truth, or something like the truth, on midday after the news. And welcome back to Midday, everyone. Our second hour, Dan Rodericks here. Thanks again for joining us. In the last few weeks, we've seen some prominent men called out for lying or embellishing, exaggerating their life's experiences. One was a journalist, one a popular conservative television commentator, and one an Army veteran who serves now as the country's Secretary of Veterans Affairs. First, Brian Williams. Brian Williams, the NBC Nightly News anchor, was suspended from the anchor desk for 6 months after he was called out for lying about being in an Army helicopter that was shot down during the 2003 invasion of Iraq. Fox News commentator and host Bill O'Reilly has been accused of fabricating tales about his coverage of the 1982 Falklands War. He claimed he was in a, quote, active war zone, end quote, and that he, quote, survived a combat situation in Argentina during the Falklands War, end quote. But some of his former colleagues, including a respected reporter who worked with O'Reilly at CBS News in those days, says otherwise. In addition, Fox News admitted to the Washington Post that in his book, Keep It Pithy, Bill O'Reilly exaggerated about seeing Irish terrorists bomb fellow citizens in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And O'Reilly lied about another reporting episode that was called into question. He claimed that on at least two occasions to have seen nuns murdered in El Salvador. According to the Christian Science Monitor, Bill O'Reilly said, quote, I've seen guys gun down nuns in El Salvador. He said that on his radio program in 2005. And on his show, The O'Reilly Factor, on Fox in 2012, he said, I saw nuns get shot in the back of the head, end quote. But O'Reilly arrived in El Salvador months after those brutal killings and could not have witnessed them, according to the watchdog group Media Matters for America. But no one seems to care that much about that, not Fox News management anyway, and not Fox viewers. Bill O'Reilly's ratings have gone up since these stories about his lies started circulating. And then there was Veterans Affairs Secretary Robert McDonald, who told a homeless man, within earshot of others and in full view of a television camera, that he had served in the Army Special Forces. McDonald made this claim in January while he was in Los Angeles as part of the VA's outreach to homeless veterans. During that tour, a homeless man told McDonald that he had served in the Special Forces.
Do you happen to be a veteran of military service?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Army, Navy, Air Force?
Army.
Army?
Yes,
what
sir.
Unit?
Special Forces.
Special Forces? What years? I was in Special Forces.
I was in the Special Forces. Well, that exchange was broadcast on the CBS Evening News on January 30th. And then McDonald's misstatement, his misstatement, if you want to call it a misstatement, was first reported by the Huffington Post. In fact, McDonald never served in the Special Forces. He graduated from West Point in 1975 and completed Army Ranger training before being assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division, and he retired in 1980. According to the Huffington Post, while McDonald was formally recognized as a graduate of the Ranger School, he never actually served in a Ranger battalion or other special operations unit, so he was not in Special Forces. He later apologized for this. I have no excuse. He said, I was not in Special Forces. Sherry Parks, Midday's American culture commentator, has been following these stories and thought they would be interesting to discuss on the show today. And I agree, in a head-scratching kind of way, because I don't understand this. Sherry Parks is Associate Dean in Arts and Humanities at the University of Maryland College Park and joins us once a month for Midday on Culture. And today we're talking about lies, fibs, misstatements, misremembering, whatever you want to call this. I like to know, actually, what you call this in each of these cases. So, Sherry, welcome back to the show. Nice to get you on today.
Hi. Nice to have you.
Yeah. I mean, a spate of public men fibbing and stretching the truth. You know, the Brian Williams story broke. And then, of course, Bill O'Reilly, who was talking about Brian Williams on Late Night with David Letterman. We're going to listen to that in a minute, what he had to say about Brian Williams. And then Bill O'Reilly being outed for some of his fabrications. And then in the middle of all this, we have the Secretary of Veterans Affairs throwing out this line to a veteran, you know, I was in Special Forces. So let's start with Sherry on this. So what do you make of all these in general and then specifically about each case?
Well, I thought it was interesting the way you introed it a few minutes ago when you said, you know, you're parodying the truth, the whole truth. So, and what you didn't say is what comes next is, so help me God. Because for us, this is at base a moral question. I mean, to lie is a sin, and particularly with McDonald, let's start with him, because that's the simpler issue.
Okay.
Where he's talking to the veteran. The veteran doesn't actually volunteer that he's with Special Forces. McDonald is basically in the powerful position. He's got the entourage, he's got the camera, and he starts to query the guy, which is, as you know, the person who gets to ask the questions is the more powerful position. And the guy is standing there, and it's ironic, in the true sense of irony, that the guy from Special Forces is the homeless guy. And McDonald tries to equalize the situation. You know, here's the guy who's the war hero, and he's homeless. I'm the guy with the entourage, and I wasn't the war hero. And often when I did some reading into why we lie, and that is in some ways a social lie, if it were a private conversation, when he's just trying to make himself look better. And I think in this case, to take away some of the discomfort. Now, the fact that the camera's there makes it a very different thing.
I'm gonna add this, that I thought in watching that video and listening to that exchange, that he was trying to connect or relate to this homeless veteran in some way to establish some affinity of some kind. Being, mm-hmm. being a reporter myself, I've interviewed homeless people. And it's not easy because, well, some of them are mentally ill. You don't know that till you start talking to them, and they speak in a kind of irrational way, and you realize soon that it's not going to be much of a conversation. But with other people who are, you know, episodically homeless, you know, I'm trying to get their story. They tell me they're from, I don't know, they tell me they're from, they grew up in Baltimore. Then I'll say maybe which part, and then if the part they're from is a part that maybe I'm familiar with, maybe I try to speak to them in a way that establishes some commonality. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the equivalent of the Baltimore question, where'd you go to high school?
Right. Yeah. So, but I'm not going to throw a lie in. I'm not going to say, oh, I grew up in Park Heights. I'm not going to say that.
Right. He crossed that line.
Right.
I think also in military culture, I mean, we've heard all for years about camaraderie. And I think he was drawn to try to make that connection as well. So I don't think he meant to be evil, but he did cross the line. He was close, and maybe he was used to telling people that he had been involved in Special Forces because he had the training, because it did seem to just fall out of his mouth.
It did, and you know, immediately said, I have no as soon as the Huffington Post exposed it, he said, I have no excuse. I was not in Special Forces. The other thing it brings to mind is, I think, a point you wanted to make today about being in the digital age, the cellular mm-hmm. age, mm-hmm. and in this case, having actually a TV crew with him. How do you expect to get away with anything anymore? I mean, maybe people always embellished a little bit, told a white lie here and there in order to establish some affinity with someone else that wasn't quite true. But today, this is the age of supervigilance, and in the digital age, I think it's just harder to get away with this stuff.
I think there are two things there. Your first question was, what was he thinking? And I've actually done interviews with people over long term for research purposes, and they forget that the camera's there. They actually say, "I forget that the camera's there."
Hmm.
And I think he maybe was so, and the camera wasn't in his face. There wasn't a mic in his face. Clearly, they were picking up sound because we could hear what he said.
Right.
But I think, I suspect, I don't know, obviously, that he just got so used to there being a crew there that he didn't think about it. And the second point you make is, I think, really important, and really important to all of these cases. And there are two parts to it. One is the 24/7 news cycle, where that, especially with cable, you've got to fill up all that time, which means you've got researchers who have time to look through those things. They then have an audience who are now, in some ways, and I don't want to make too fine a point of this because I don't consider them journalists, but who act like citizen journalists, who have now very powerful personal computers who can find things and have the time to look for it. And then third, and it was interesting to watch some of these videos and see where they came from, there are now very nicely curated media archives. So some of these tapes came from Vanderbilt, which is one of the better known ones.
Right.
And in the old days, as somebody who was old enough to have researched media in the old days, it would have taken weeks to find some of this footage. You would have to go to, remember card catalogs?
Yep. Or in the case of television news up until the late 70s, early 80s was on film.
So film, and then you had to look at it.
Then they had videotape, one-inch videotape or half-inch, I forget. It's like no one even has the machines anymore
that can play them. If you were really lucky, someone had cataloged it on microfiche, but you couldn't just do a keyword. You had to physically go through the microfiche to get it.
That's right.
So who was doing that? One thing I'm saying is I'm not so sure that people are lying more now. I think it's easier to catch them now because you can now go to an academic curated archive like that, put in a keyword, and pow, 10 videos show up.
All right. So we've just dealt with Robin McDonald, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, who seems to have survived this thing by apologizing almost immediately for it, or as soon as he was exposed. But you know what I was saying before about his effort to connect with this veteran on the street?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why he threw in that he was in the Special Forces. Let's listen to Robin McDonald's apology. Let's listen to the whole thing and then talk about it.
Well, I was in Los Angeles and gauging a homeless man to determine his veteran status. I asked the man where he had served in the military. He responded that he had served in Special Forces. And in an attempt to connect with that veteran to make him feel comfortable, I incorrectly stated that I, too, had been in Special Forces. That was wrong, and I have no excuse. I have great respect for those who have served our nation in Special Forces. They and all veterans deserve a Department of Veterans Affairs that provides them the care and benefits that they have earned. We at VA are working hard to restore trust. And again, I apologize to those who may have been offended by my misstatement.
Robin McDonald, Secretary of Veterans Affairs. I wonder, what do people consider this? Is this a lie? Was this a lie? A forgivable lie? A forgivable fib? I mean, there's all this. There are all these different words: misstatement, misremembering.
That's interesting too, right?
embellishment. Yeah, yeah. We have all these different words for different levels of deceit, I guess.
Well, I do want to say one thing about that video that from what I know of military culture, and we in this area know lots of people in military culture, what he might have said is thank you for your service and be respectful to the homeless man. He didn't do that. He tried to equalize it, which I think is different. He could have connected to him in different ways. But I do think it's interesting that we have all of these, I think, euphemisms for lying.
Mm.
And it's interesting because in thinking about this, that if you had asked me this a week and a half ago, I would have said, I don't lie. I don't lie. I grew up in a family where you got punished more if you lied than for the thing that you did.
Yeah.
And being honest is a core value in my family, is one of the top two things. Being smart is actually the other part. And so you can see where I end up trying to be smart and trying not to tell lies. But then as I began to read about the different types of lies, I've definitely lied to make other people feel comfortable. Or as my mother lay dying, I lied to her that my marriage was in good shape, for instance, which was a big epiphany for me that, yeah, I have lied. So, and then there are studies that say that the average adult lies 13 times a week.
Is that right?
Well, I don't know if it's right, but there's a study that says.
I mean, that's, you have a study that says that.
That's very
interesting. So there's all these different levels. Was that survey based on people self-reporting their lies?
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, you cited, now this is very interesting, because you cited a reason to lie that's an admirable reason. I mean, that's an okay.
I'd do it again.
I'm not even sure I would call, I guess it's a lie, but okay. But in the case of Bill O'Reilly and Brian Williams and the Secretary McDonald, they're trying to make themselves look better than they were. And in the case of the two journalists, I call Bill O'Reilly, be careful about calling him a journalist. Brian Williams, I call him a journalist.
Anchorman. You didn't before. At the beginning, I noticed you did not use that word.
I said journalist, and then I referred to a TV commentator.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a moment. But here's the thing. They tried to make themselves sound more intrepid than the record shows, and I think that's embellishing to make yourself look better than you are in the eyes of people who think, you know, living a dangerous life, serving in the military, if you're a journalist, at least maybe a war correspondent, those are admirable things.
And I think also there's a bright line between being in the story and telling the story. And I think in both cases, they wanted to be the story.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They became the story. And for me, there's an ethical line there. That, I mean, if you're going to cross over, you need to say, look, this is what I'm doing. Because they left in Brian Williams' role, the anchor, that TV evening news anchor has been a revered social role. I mean, we think of Cronkite, but I think when it hit its high point was during 9/11. On that day, all of the TV anchors who were men and white and they were in that fatherly role, which is all really important, stayed on all day. I mean, they stayed on for 16 hours. For some of them, it was really physically difficult because they felt the country needed that role to be present.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're messing with. And I think we may be witnessing the crumbling of that role because it's impossible to keep it up with the 24/7 news cycle and social media.
Right, right. Sherry, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back and talk to Sherry Park some more about lying. Do you consider these lies? What Bill O'Reilly, what's going on with Bill O'Reilly? And these, I'll go over this again when we get back here. And then the Brian Williams story. Are those lies? Are they embellishments? Are they slips? Is it a faulty memory? Should anyone be fired here? Do you think Brian Williams should have been fired instead of just the 6-month suspension? And what about Bill O'Reilly? His ratings are up since these stories came out about him. What do you make of that? 410-662-8780. And do you lie 13 times a week? Do you think human beings lie 13 times a week? Is that possible? 410-662-8780. It's Midday on Culture with Sherry Parks. We'll be right back. And this is the Midday Show. Dan Rodericks with Sherry Parks talking about lies, fibs, embellishments, misstatements, misremembering. I don't know what to call it now. I'm in the jungle of euphemisms, Sherry. By the way, we're on Twitter at Dan Rodericks or Midday WYPR. You can tweet us either way. Here's one from Walter who says on Twitter, Jim McGee said, quote, if all the guys who said they were on Corregidor were there, we never would have lost the place to begin with, a reference to World War II. Jim McGee was from Baltimore and a friend of my father's, and he was there and taken prisoner. One thing we didn't touch on very much here was that, Sherry, is the idea of the military service lie. And in the case of Brian Williams and Bill O'Reilly, in the case of Brian Williams, this regards what happened to him when he was in Iraq covering the invasion of Iraq in 2003 for NBC, and Bill O'Reilly when he was with CBS covering the Falklands War in 1982. And, you know, I think, I don't know where I was taught this, but the idea of lying about military service in any way, embellishing what you did during the war, Daddy, was a bad thing, a very bad thing.
Well, there's a new law. 2013, they passed a new law basically to make it a crime to lie about military service, because so many people were lying about their military service to get benefits and respect and all kinds of things. So now it actually is a crime. I think, and Brian Williams did a second thing when he talked about I lied. He said it was the fog of memory, which is a fascinating phrase because, of course, it parallels the other phrase, fog of war.
Yes.
And the fog of war is that when you are in a traumatic situation, different people will focus on different things. What we know about people in trauma is that we are not wide lens cameras, and the media references it there on purpose. We tend to focus on the thing that will get us out of that situation or the thing that is the point of danger. And so different people may have focused on different things in a situation. So people will, this gets back to your misremembering, that we are not recording devices in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
That if a gun is pointed at you, you may not see the face of the assailant. You may have just looked at the barrel of the gun. So he's kind of hiding behind that when he says the fog of memory, with that exact almost phrase, the fog of memory instead of the fog of war, saying, well, I was in a traumatic situation and maybe I didn't quite get it right. Well, first of all, you're a journalist. You've hopefully been trained to get it more right than most of us. And two, that kind of slip of phrase actually bothers me as much as the original.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think Brian Williams should be done with being an anchorman on NBC News. If I had told a story like that in the Baltimore Sun, I think the Baltimore Sun and I would part ways. And I just don't know how there's any fog about being in an Army helicopter under attack in Iraq and having a rocket fired at it.
Well, I think there are two things going on here. I think, one, I mean, you are a print journalist, and I suspect that it is in your bones. I mean, even if you can't get the story with all of the nuance and all of the facets in, so many inches of newsprint, it is your holy grail. You will, and I've seen this with you, you will strain toward it and work hard to try to get that. That's the old-style legacy media. Remember, we're talking about people who did not write what they may be saying, and actually Rolling Stone has suggested that the first time this lie was perpetrated with Williams, he was reading from a news prompter. We can only assume that he had time to read it
mm-hmm.
before he said it.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know journalists who do what we used to call rip and read, right?
Right.
And then he was in a situation where he either had to say, oh, well, that was wrong, or keep going. And he was immediately put in a situation where somebody picked up and ran with it, and he kind of let it go. So there's one, there's a different type of journalist at play here. And they are, I think, with the line, there's a line between, for you, there's a line between entertainment and news. You've actually commented on it a couple of times when you go back and forth between journalism and commentator.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, hard news commentator.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Between
right.
opinion and just trying to relate facts.
Right,
yeah,
and with O'Reilly and Williams, in different ways, certainly, they both move back and forth.
That's right. Let's listen to this, Sherry. We have a clip I want you to listen to. This is Brian Williams on Late Night with David Letterman, only a couple years ago, repeating the story. So let's listen in on this.
I do go cover these two wars we've been fighting, and when I do, I like to go out on patrol. I like to get out in it. Guy like Richard Engel, the amount of fire we took on this day, his name for that is Tuesday. Mm-hmm. His name for that is every day of his life.
Right.
We were in some helicopters. What we didn't know was we were north of the invasion. We were the northernmost Americans in Iraq. We were going to drop some bridge portions across the Euphrates so the 3rd Infantry could cross on them. Two of our four helicopters were hit. by ground fire, including the one I was in.
No kidding.
RPG and AK-47.
What altitude were you hit at?
We were only at 100 feet doing 100 forward knots because we had these massive pieces of bridge beneath us on slings.
What happens the minute everybody realizes you've been hit?
We figure out how to land safely, and we did. We landed very quickly and hard, and we put down, and we were stuck. Four birds in the middle of the desert, and we were north out ahead of the other Americans.
Oh, my.
And
so, Lynn, as a guy, as a journalist, what do you think? This is a great position to be in, or holy crap, I got to get out of here?
More toward the holy crap.
And playing it for laughs a bit there, using a military lingo, birds for helicopters, you know, I just don't get that. I'm scratching my head. I think the guy should be fired for repeating this story. He was not in that helicopter that was hit. He arrived like an hour later or something like this.
And he's supplying detail.
Yeah. I mean, I just... Sherry, I'm sorry. I guess I say he should be fired because I know I would be fired. And I know other reporters have been fired for making up stuff, plagiarizing stories. We do have some standards. And he's supposed to be, managing editor of NBC
yeah.
Nightly News.
Well, and the latest reporting is that right now NBC News is going through a leadership change. And if there's a new, he's not new, but he's coming back, Andrew Lack comes back, he's the one who put Williams in the chair in the first place. And the hubbub on the media is that if he comes back, Williams is likely to come back too.
Let's take a phone call on this subject on Brian Williams, and then we'll get to Bill O'Reilly in just a minute here. Alan in Glenarm, thank you for calling. You're on Midday.
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I wanted to weigh in on the difference between O'Reilly, Williams, and McDonald. I think with both O'Reilly and Williams, you have to look at what they had to gain. One, increased ratings, because people love to hear a first-person narrative. They want to hear, you know, what's coming from the people who were in the action. And they also had to gain just increased stature by their lie to millions of viewers. McDonald, what did he really have to gain from saying this to one person? It's pretty clear that he was just trying to make a connection. He didn't turn to the cameras and say, I was in the special forces. He was trying to make a connection with this one person.
Yeah.
And there's a clear difference. You have to look at the motive and what they had to gain from the lie.
I like Alan's comments. I think I agree with you on that. And by the way, Sherry, I just want to interject something. You referred to the federal law.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought I would state it here. I looked it up. It's the Stolen Valor Act. That makes lying about military service awards for financial gain a federal crime. So just for the record there.
Because it was so common.
Yeah.
I agree mostly, except being in special forces is a very special and highly respected thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than just being in the regular Army. So I think there's a bit of self-aggrandizement that happens there. But mostly I agree, too.
Here's an interesting quote from Mark Twain sent to us by Ray, who's out there listening. Ray, quoting Mark Twain, says, "The older I get, the more clearly I remember things that never happened." Thank you for that, Ray. Our email address, midday@wypr.org. Here's a clip, another clip. This is Brian Williams now apologizing for lying, for misrepresenting his experiences in Iraq. I don't know what word to use here. I like the lie word. Folks, you can call in and tell me what word you think we should use. Here it is.
On this broadcast last week, in an effort to honor and thank a veteran who protected me and so many others after a ground fire incident in the desert during the Iraq War invasion, I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. It did not take long to hear from some brave men and women in the air crews who were also in that desert. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft. We all landed after the ground fire incident and spent two harrowing nights in a sandstorm in the Iraq desert. This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran and, by extension, our brave military men and women, veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not. I hope they know they have my greatest respect and also now my apology.
See, I don't know how you believe anything else he says. Two harrowing nights. Is that true? I don't know.
Well, and I think what happens here, we talked about him moving back and forth between his position as a journalist and entertainment. Mm-hmm. When he steps away from that anchor desk, he steps away from that team, that largely invisible team of people who support everything he says on the air. Yet he carries that persona with him. I mean, the evening news, more so than much other news, still has that image of this is Brian Williams talking to you. And we don't really see that there are scores of people, hopefully fact checkers among them, who have supported everything he says. When he steps out into, you know, the evening talk shows, he's basically on his own. But he carries that same sense of truthfulness, but he doesn't have a fact checker talking to his ear saying, wait a minute, kind of go back and tell that story differently.
Right. Very, very good point, Sherry. Thank you. Is Eugene in Bel Air joining our conversation on Midday? Hi, Eugene.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you. What did you want to say about this?
What I wanted to say was that actually they did show on NBC right after this incident was exposed his original broadcast as a journalist, which he did state that he was in a following helicopter. He was not involved in any combat. His helicopter was not shot at. And they actually did show that on the national news.
His original report
was
accurate.
The original report, he accurately told what happened. He didn't say anything about 2 days of harrowing because it was the report was right after it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's interesting.
They did show that on the air.
So the story becomes inflated, embellished. I was actually hit. Conflated story. That's another word that I've heard used, conflated, as time goes by, Sherry.
Well, you mentioned memory a couple of times, and memory actually is interesting. I said that we are not a camera, and our brains are not recording. We will encode information that's wrong all the time and then pull it up as if it were fact. And it's interesting because I understand why as a journalist fact and accuracy and truth are really, really important. And I mention it as your holy grail, and I hope that continues. But researchers who think about people and memory and social interaction don't use those words anymore. Because what is a fact? Well, we could be in the same situation, and your fact is different than my fact, and your truth could be different than our truth. We really do move through our social situations, relatively speaking, if that
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
No, I know what you mean, yeah.
And so, I mean, we are imperfect, although we can imagine the perfection. And if something is a better story, if it's structured like a story, we will remember that better than an isolated incident. So the fact that Brian Williams' war story was a better story means that it has more cultural feet because we remember stories better than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Now we get to Bill O'Reilly, and I wanted to listen in on another clip. This is from the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Before the whole controversy about Bill O'Reilly's stories involving Northern Ireland, El Salvador, and the Falklands War, this is what he had to say about what was going on with Brian Williams and the problems he was having with the truth.
Well, number one, I feel that anybody who is enjoying a destruction of this man, you got to look at yourself here. And there's a lot of people seem to be real happy that his career is going down a drain. That disturbs me. He made a mistake. Is it a character flaw? I don't know. If it is, he's going to lose his job. If another one comes out that he exaggerated a story that he reported, he's going to lose his job. He can get one. It's funny because I was in the same, almost exactly the same situation that he was in. I went to Iraq after him, but it was hot, and we were in a helicopter. And I was landed at Baghdad Airport. I came in from Kuwait, and I was on like a goodwill tour visiting troops all over the place. And I said, well, let's drive. It's only 12 miles to Baghdad from the airport. And the guy goes, we can't. We can't drive. It's too dangerous. So we went up in a helicopter gunship, and I sat right next to the gunner. I had a little helmet on, they give the flak jacket. And it's unbelievably exhilarating. Your adrenaline is running, and I'm flying over Baghdad with the guys, and there's two gunners, and the doors are open, and the pilots, it's intense. Nobody shot at us or anything like that, but I could see that when you come on a show like Kimmel or any of the late night shows, you don't want to be a dweeb All right? You want to have something interesting to say. And that's what happens, is that a journalist will say, okay, I was there. And then this story, to make it more dramatic and interesting, will emerge.
Right.
And that's what he did. He embellished the story. Now, as again, if it's just one time, he'll get by. But if it's a pattern of this, it's going to be hard for him to come back and be the main anchor on NBC.
Well, speaking of a pattern here, Mother Jones has reported that Bill O'Reilly exaggerated his experiences during coverage of the 1982 Falklands War, claiming that he was in an active war zone. Eric Enberg, the former CBS news reporter who was there, said, no, he was in an expense zone. He was staying at a hotel. He wasn't anywhere near a combat situation in Argentina during the Falklands War. Fox News admitted in a statement they released to the Washington Post that O'Reilly had exaggerated about seeing Irish terrorists bomb fellow citizens in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Apparently, he was shown photographs of this, which, of course, a lot of us have seen similar photographs. He said he saw, you heard me earlier in the show, quote him saying that he had seen nuns gunned down in El Salvador. Again, apparently, that's from his experience of having viewed photographs of nuns who were brutally killed in El Salvador. So let's listen to this, too, Sherry, before we go on here. This a little bit more from Bill O'Reilly, claiming that he and his photographer were attacked in Argentina during the Falklands War. So he actually said this on a Fox News show.
When you're confronted with somebody bleeding and injured, do you help them and then shoot and do all that? And I'll tell you a story about what happened to me one time in a second.
Right.
Because I was in a situation in a war zone in Argentina in the Falklands where my photographer got run down and hit his head and was bleeding from the ear on the concrete, and the army was chasing us. I had to make a decision, and I dragged him off, you know, but at the same time, I'm looking around and trying to do my job, but I figured I had to get this guy out of there because that was more important.
Yeah, well, according to Bill O'Reilly, you just don't want to sit there and be a dweeb. You got to have a story to tell, right, Sherry?
Right. Well, and he said you only get one and he should lose his job. And then he turns out that he's got I lost count.
Yeah. 410-662-8780. We're going to come back and talk some more about this. We'd like to hear from you. Do you think you lie 13 times a week? Is that possible? Sherry, you have some more on that study when we get back. I'd like to hear about that. I have some emails to read. We got some calls coming in right now. We'll get to those. We have a couple of open phone lines if you want to join our conversation here and give us your thoughts. And why doesn't it matter, this stuff with Bill O'Reilly? It doesn't seem to matter. His ratings are up. Fox News admits that he fabricated or he exaggerated. I don't think they say fabricated. They say exaggerated. But they're apparently not going to do anything to him. He's doing too well. He's too popular, I guess. Maybe they have a different set of standards at Fox News. Maybe we don't expect Bill O'Reilly to be a real... Maybe we don't think of him as a real newsman, so it doesn't matter if he tells a little story now and then. 410-662-8780. Let me read a couple of emails from our listeners. Susan says, I do agree that Brian Williams should be fired and actually wonder why he didn't resign. I don't know if he was ever in the military, but it doesn't surprise me that more people are being caught in lies having to do with the military. Our military members are finally being recognized for their service, and others seem to want to be caught up in the gratitude we now show for the military, even though they're not involved in the military. Other than that, I would like to add that I have a brother-in-law who simply has no familiarity with honesty. We all know this, but it never stopped him from continuing to lie. That's interesting what she said about his brother-in-law. Mary says, it enrages me when I hear I made a mistake when clearly it should be something like, I did something wrong and I am truly sorry. Let's all man up when we screw up and admit it honestly. This I would respect in the person apologizing. So it doesn't sound like, I'm not sure who's Mary's directing that at, because I don't think Bill O'Reilly has apologized for anything, has he?
No. Actually, remember, he went on the offensive. He threatened a New York Times reporter that he would go after her with everything he got. He basically tried to make it go away. Yeah, actually, that's a quote. He said, we need to make this go away. So he went into, I think, for journalists, an even more offensive mode of saying, let's kill this story, and threatening, if you consider him a journalist, a fellow journalist.
Let's take another call. Back to the subject of the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Robert McDonald. Barbara had a comment about that from Frederick. Hi, Barbara.
Yes, I think that both of you are very generous to Mr. McDonald. The man lied, and I think if I were the veteran, whether he's homeless or not, I would be terribly insulted by what Mr. McDonald did. I mean, I can't imagine that he would elevate himself to a platform that he wasn't invited to. I just think it's a lie. And I think the fact that these people are still in their jobs, and especially, again, I'm using the term journalist. I don't consider them journalists. They're entertainers. And entertainers are supposed to entertain us, tell us stories, exciting stories, tragic stories, funny stories. That's what these guys do. They do that on the networks. And I think the fact that they're still working says as much about the ethics of the networks as it does about these so-called journalists.
What do you think should be the consequence for Mr. McDonald, Barbara, since you called up and you wanted to focus on him for a moment? So, okay, so he lied, he got caught. He didn't admit it without being caught first, so he was caught and then he apologized. But do you think, I mean, what's the consequence for him?
Well, I think he's insulted a veteran, and I don't think that's a position he should hold. I think he has denigrated his own position. I don't know how he could continue in the job himself. But again, I know a lot of people excuse what he did. I think it was very insulting to someone who has performed a great service to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mr. McDonald evidently felt beneath the gentleman, and he had to elevate himself somehow, and he did that by telling a lie, which is about the...
And you think it's generous to say he was just trying to connect to the guy, which is what I said.
I do, and I understand why you say that.
Yeah.
I do. I just cannot agree with it.
But remember, I also said that I can't see myself doing that. If I was a reporter on the street and the homeless guy said, you know, I grew up in Park Heights, and he said, oh, yeah, I grew up there, in order to establish some rapport with him so I could get a story, I'm not going to do that. Thank you very much, Barbara. Remember Hillary Clinton, writes Carol. She said she had come under fire when landing at an airstrip in Bosnia. Yeah, this is a few years ago. Let me look this one up quickly. Okay. Yeah, this goes back a few years, and she said she made a mistake. I don't know if you remember this one, Sherry. This was back, I think this is when she was running for president the first time. Yeah, okay, I get it here. She said she made a mistake when she claimed she had come under sniper fire during a trip to Bosnia in 1996 while she was first lady. This was a speech in Washington in March of 2008, and in interviews during that time, Hillary Clinton described how she and her daughter, Chelsea, ran for cover under hostile fire shortly after her plane landed in Tuzla, Bosnia. Several news outlets disputed the claim, and a video of the trip showed Clinton walking from the plane, accompanied by her daughter. They were greeted by a young girl in a small ceremony on the tarmac, and there was no sign of tension or any danger. So she made a mistake. This thing about a mistake. You know, a mistake is when you use, I said this, I think you were on the show once when I said this, Sherry. I said you use, what's that herb, not parsley, the Mexican one that goes into Mexican food that I don't like? What is that green?
Do I remember everything you said?
What is the green that people, cilantro, thank you.
Oh, cilantro.
It's like when you put cilantro in spaghetti sauce instead of parsley. That's a mistake. I made a mistake.
Oh, okay.
All right. When you tell a story like that, Sherry, how is that a mistake?
Well, we were talking about euphemisms, and, you know, yeah. Of course, the ultimate is not I made a mistake, but mistakes were made. I think two things. One, I think it's really interesting that I could not find out the name of the homeless gentleman. is that he's not the star of the story.
Yeah.
And his insult is not the point of most of the stories. And the fact that, yeah, it is insulting to say to a veteran, well, I served too, or I served the way you did, that's an insult. But that actually isn't the, quote, best story that we hear about. And what I keep thinking about is that quote from Machiavelli, The Prince, that it is better for a prince to appear princely than to actually be. And so many people who have public personas, their persona is a facade.
Yeah.
And when does a facade become a lie? I think is the question we're really asking.
Is that the case with Brian Williams? Patricia says Brian Williams got his job because he is a nice-looking white man. These people aren't journalists. They are entertainers. Absent TV, they would be selling vacuum cleaners. Bill O'Reilly is what my grandmother had in mind when she said, empty barrels make the most noise. He's a bully, not a journalist.
Well, I think we have made them, and the networks have made them into entertainers, and we have responded to them as entertainers. And she's not the first person to suggest that Brian Williams got his job because he was attractive. I think it's a little creepy for a news anchor. It's not part of my criteria for a news anchor, but it's evidently now part of the job.
Yeah. I always feel sorry for, because TV news gets slammed as being sort of hollow, empty, I don't know, not very substantial. There's a lot of reporters who work very hard.
Yes.
They're real reporters who stand there with microphones in the snow on days like this and give us reports and do the real job, and then there's the, you know.
But it's really, really hard to get that in a two-minute story.
Yeah. Yeah. Chuck in Towson. Sherry, here's another comment about the Veterans Secretary. Chuck, go ahead. Hi.
Sure. Yeah, I have a slightly different perspective on the lie he told. And I think there's some shades of gray in there. You know, if memory serves, he was trained as an Army Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he served in a Ranger unit. But the Rangers, the Ranger unit, I guess it's a regiment, is a part of our Special Operations Forces.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the training. And so, yes, he was not in Special Forces, but a unit that he could have conceivably belonged to is a part of our Special Operations Forces, which consist of elements from all the services, right? So I think there's that, and I see what he was doing is really just an attempt to connect with this individual.
Yeah, that's where I come down. But the problem is, Chuck, if you use the term Special Forces, you're referring to something specific.
Specific, you are correct.
Yeah, why isn't it good? Why isn't, by the way, why isn't it good enough to say I was a Ranger? I mean, that's.
I don't know.
That has some gravitas. That has some.
To use shorthand because that would have been fine.
Yeah, yeah, really. Yeah.
He could have said that, and they would have had that instant kinship, you know.
Yeah.
Because they're close cousins, and they do serve together. So.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I'm gonna assume noble intent on this one. And I say he gets a pass, you know, not that it's up to me, but at least he does in my mind.
Thank you very much. And do we have time, Michael, we've got about 1 minute. I wanted to get your comments on that same subject. Go ahead.
Sure. Actually, I agree with Chuck that the VA secretary's comment, I sort of put in a different categorization just because it's so closely related to the truth where he actually, and from what I understand, Ranger training or any sort of special forces training takes a while, maybe even up to a year or a couple of years.
So that's different than what you're seeing with Brian Williams and Bill O'Reilly.
Absolutely, where it was just a single event, and they're not recalling anything close to the truth. They're just making up something that never happened to them, nothing they ever saw or experienced, just something they heard about versus a case where someone was considering themselves part of the Special Forces and was formally acknowledged as a Ranger or having completed Ranger school.
All right, Michael. Thank you. I'm sorry, we're out of time there, but I get your point. And I think it sounds like generally we're giving a pass to the Veterans Secretary, not so much Bill O'Reilly and Brian Williams. Sherry, we got to go. Thank you very much for this today.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah, Sherry Parks, who joins us once a month for Midday on Culture. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Midday's producer is Maureen Harvey. The associate producers are Michael Himowitz, Melody Simmons, and Connor Graham. Our interns are Marjorie Goodman, Aaron Morenzi, and Mary Troutman. Midday's engineer is Luke Spicknell. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming is available at WYPR.org. Dan Roderick's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.